It's the Book of the Week.
And it's that time of the week again. It's time for Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself and Laurie Westron and our author of the week, who is Pritiba Castle. And Pritiba is an Irish-born poet of working-class background, lives in West Sussex, widely anthologised. She's been long-listed and given special mention in numerous poetry competitions. The title poem in her latest pamphlet, Mini Skirts in the Wasteland, was shortlisted in the Bridport Prize 2023. Her debut pamphlet, A Triptych of Birds and a Few Loose Feathers, was a joint winner in the Hedgehog Press Nicely Folded Paper Competition 2019. She is currently working on a collection inspired by childhood and her Irish Catholic background. And we have the Book of the Week, which indeed is Miniskirts in the Wasteland, set in Notting Hill and India. It's an elegy for the late 60s and 70s. In a flamboyant contrast to the drab reality of post-war Britain, the air in these years of emerging counterculture, the era of the pill throbbed with the scents and sounds of youth. The blazing hues of psychedelia, these poems portray a young woman's search for self-knowledge and love. Miniskirts in the Wasteland offers for the curious a glimpse into this vanished world, and for those who were there, the tantalising ghosts of patchouli scent and incense.
It is.
Yeah. Pritiba, welcome to Victory. Very nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Did I pronounce that right? Patchouli scent?
Patchouli scent.
Okay. Yes. Got a few questions for you. First question is, when did you start writing?
Well, when I was nine, I won a competition, a Cadbury's competition, for an essay. The following year, I wrote, directed and acted in a play which was put on at school for charity. And then I didn't really, apart from essays at school, I didn't really write at all until 2008. My mother died, and I suddenly realised I better get on and live some of the dreams that I had put to one side, and one of them was to write. So I enrolled at Chichester University on the English and Creative Writing BA, and 2 weeks later I was registering and starting.
So you kind of started late in life as a writer, but inspired from an earlier age.
Absolutely, yes.
What is your writing routine?
Well, I wake up, I tend to wake up sort of 6 o'clock-ish, and I immediately start writing, basically. When I come out of sleep and I'm kind of a bit foggy, that is a really great time to just start writing. I also, at that time, I tend to read.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with Laurie, actually. Laurie is a much more avid reader than myself, and I've got a TBR list that's getting longer than my arm now. It's a to-be-read list of books that authors bring me in, which I'm very grateful for, and I keep promising I will get around to reading them. I need to do it in the morning, because reading late at night, I tend to fall asleep.
Yeah, I mean, I read prose at night precisely for that reason, because it relaxes me. But poetry, I just devour morning.
Yeah, I think poets are slightly different animals than novelists, maybe, in my mind. But where would you get your inspirations from?
Well, they can come from, I write, a lot of my images are nature-fueled, so I can get something I see, a bird I hear, a scent can kind of set me off. But also I get a lot of inspiration from other writers. When I'm reading poetry, there may be an image or a sound in the word or a theme that just kind of sparks something, you know, and I put down maybe a few words and I'll keep on coming back to that, and it kind of expands into a poem.
Is there a lot of editing that goes on with poetry, or does it flood out?
Well, it's different. Very occasionally something comes through pretty much fully formed and needs minimal editing, and other times there may be hundreds of edits that happen until I get something that feels like it really sings the way I want it to.
That's a nice way of putting it. I get that. Tell us a bit about your latest book.
Okay, Miniskirts in the Wasteland. I was in Notting Hill the end of the 60s, early 70s, and I also visited India several times. I just found myself starting to write poetry inspired by that time, and so at one point I realised it was turning into a small collection. So I carried on, and here we have it.
Is that your first poetry book?
No, this is my second. My first one, A Triptych of Birds and a Few Loose Feathers, as you mentioned, award-winning debut pamphlet. That's really concerned with my relationship primarily with my mother.
Okay, are you self-published?
No, I'm published by Hedgehog Poetry Press.
Oh yeah, I did say that, didn't I? What would you say to anyone who hasn't written but would like to give it a go?
Read, 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 read.
Oh, that's a good one.
Even when you're not writing or you're not feeling inspired to write, keep on reading. And write, keep a notebook with you, write any thoughts, notes, anything that comes to you. Don't in any way judge it or criticize it, just write it all down. And when you first start writing, an early draft, at that point also, do not second guess yourself. Do not cut anything out. Let it all pour on the paper or on the screen.
That's lovely advice. Do you find you're inspired from, like you said, it could be from nature, walking, doing whatever, but are you inspired from your own history as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, that I forgot to say.
That's okay. So, do you want to read something for us?
Yes, I'd love to. Let's have a little walk down Notting Hill. My saviour. Notting Hill, a bed, sit, state, she'd fled to from the sticks on leaving school. CND signs scrawled on walls, graffiti bleeding like the Jesus hearts in every convent she'd attended. Long hair, bleary eyes, soul bro to the hippies in their purple flares, jalabas, mumbling, "Wanna score?" Landlady Aggie, larger than life poster by her bed of Cynthia, the naked biker babe, gossip hawked up on a phlegmy cackle. Lenient when the rent was late, a terror to the drunken gobshite down the hall who goosed her. Dwayne, a Crosby tash, butterfly-patched jeans, Stetson, finger-picking starburst Gibson, cradled all the way from Frisco, almost tilting off the bed, off his head on a pineapple fast, toque of Acapulco gold, nam, nightmares. Laura Ashley, floor-length frock, stitched by candlelight in a Maidavale squat. She trips, her cowboy boots spark flies from black bags ditched by bin men backing striking miners. The day she kissed Dwayne's scars, heard tales of paddy fields and mortar brash as fireworks watched on weed. The day he curled her fingers round a desert rose, she hitched her dress, joined him at the registry, made out, made up harmonies to I Do.
That's beautiful, and it's got such a massive story behind it.
Thank you.
So that obviously is a lot of your history, I guess.
Well, some of my history, some creatively endowed, but also there's a lot of the social background, well, in several of the poems. Yeah.
I like that so much, I'd like you to prepare another one unannounced. What else should we do?
Okay, well, so now I've changed my mind as to what I was going to read. When I read about the war, I remember your gunmetal beetle chuntering down the Via Appia, a cough like my singer treadle, the square of Piazza Navona, where we chilled on a crumbling fountain edge, chaperoned by a pissing cherub, guzzled watermelon, pistachio ice, licked sugar trickles off each other's chins, my milk skin curdling in August blaze. I remember stars combusting in a cobalt sky, sand and your gaze burrowing in secret crevices as we lazed to heartbeat waves, octopus-limbed after loving, transported on the magic carpet of your army sleeping bag. I remember a siege of pewter clouds, russet leaves blitzing rubbish bags outside my Chelsea flat, where I loitered in the hall, chewed split ends, watching for the post, your last note smeary in my pocket. shipping out to Nam tomorrow. I remember the day an airmail like a moth blew as your eyes fluttered to the mat. Green, heroic script. Jeff mentioned you. This dude dropped by. Jeff's missing. Jeff's sister, June.
Tiber Castle, that was wonderful. I love it, and I get the story behind it, and you read it so beautifully. And that slight Irish accent that you still carry makes it even more beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Where can we buy your books? This one in particular, Miniskirts in the Wasteland.
New to you on Corsham High Street. They are stocking them, and they would be very happy to see you come in.
Thank you so much. Pratibha, I believe you've chosen a song for us to play.
I have indeed. Woodstock.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
And back with Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club, part two with Laurie Westron. Hi, Laurie. How are you
Good
doing?
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning to you. How's it going?
Yeah, great. Great.
How was last night?
It was super, yeah. We always have a really good turnout for our speaking volume sessions at 6 Highland Road. And yeah, last night was good. We had some good readers and lots of people there listening.
Good, glad to hear it. Okay, so how's the week been generally?
Yeah, it's going very well.
Go on, tell me about it. Weather's helped, I expect.
Yeah, oh, we've had some lovely weather in the past week or so, haven't we? It's like suddenly summer is on our doorstep.
Oh, yes. Let's not tempt fate, though.
No.
Let's get talking about book writing.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I thought, you know, as the Pick of the Pops competition is, you know, we've just passed midway.
Yeah.
So people will be thinking about polishing up. We've already had a lot of stories in, of course. But
we really have.
We have. But, you know, if people haven't started writing their stories yet, there's still plenty of time.
Well, Laurie, I guess that's if you think 1 week is plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people can write a story in an hour, you know? And so, yeah, there is plenty of time.
Okay, so what we're going to talk about in terms of, is it a roundup of where we've been or have you just got some new stuff?
No, I think we'll talk about that final step of polishing up a story and getting it ready for submission and some of the things to look out for just to give yourself the best possible chance of doing well.
Go on then, fire away.
So, you know, we talked about the drafting process and how a story goes through several drafts. And now I think if you're at that stage where you're thinking that your story feels finished, but it's still over your maximum word count of, in this instance, 600 words, then now's the time to start trimming away that last bit of excess. Check here at this stage, are the details you've included necessary? Remember, everything you include in a story of this length must do one of two things. It must either develop a sense of character or it must move the plot forward. So those are the two things that must happen in a story of this length. It's got to serve one of those two purposes. We don't need any extra detail about the color of someone's shoes, for instance. Unless, of course, that colour is important to the story.
Absolutely, yep. So we don't need to floss it up at all. Get straight to the story, get the words on there.
Get straight to the story, yep.
So, okay, so what if the story is already within the word count? Is it ready to submit?
Well, it might be, but I'd give it one more read through before hitting the submit button. You know, don't push that button too quickly. I mean, the number of times I've submitted a story and then I've found typos or something that I wouldn't wanted to have had in it. So don't do it too quickly. But I think this time as you're reading through, make sure that everything is as polished to perfection as can be. So check that you're using the strongest words to convey the meaning that you're trying to get across. Make sure the language you use fits the tone of the story. A humorous story, for instance, will use language in a different way to one that's more serious. So, you know, pay attention to that and pacing as well. You know, language affects pacing. If you use short sentences, that will quicken the pace, and longer sentences will slow things down. So those are the sort of things you should be paying attention to during this final stage before you submit.
Okay, so now is it time to submit?
Nope, slow down, Bob. We're not quite there yet, so don't be in such a hurry.
But surely it must be finished by now. I mean, what more can there possibly be? Come on, Laurie.
Yeah, the last thing I think to check are the rules. So every competition.
Good point.
Every competition has a set of rules. Go back and just double check everything. Read through the rules again. The stories will be judged anonymously. So make sure that your name is not on the front page of your story.
That's a good point. And just to clarify that, the only identity that any judges will have is an order number.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that does need to be on the story with the submission. Make sure your pages are numbered because, you know, if they get printed out, somebody drops them on the floor, they get mixed up. Oh, it's much easier to sort out if your pages are numbered. Make sure your paragraphs are indented. I've spoken about this before, how using the standard Microsoft format for Word, it doesn't give our paragraphs any indents. It puts a space in between our paragraphs. We don't want any of that. That's academic layout, when paragraphs are flush left and have a space in between that. We don't want that in a literary competition. So we want nice indented paragraphs, no spaces between the paragraphs. And we also want everything presented in, you know, a readable font. So, you know, Times New Roman, size 12. We don't want any of this tiny little font that makes it really hard to read. So.
Okay, that's it then. So now it's ready.
It is, yes.
Hey!
People can
I'll get my stories in. Laurie, do you know what? It's been fun bringing this competition to air, and I am absolutely amazed how many people have entered already, and I know that from what Jackie says, it's likely that there'll be a big flurry towards the end of the competition.
Yeah, there will
That's
be.
That's normal. But before we get any further into this, I want to go back to Pratibha Castle. That really stirred your emotion.
It did. Yeah.
I've got to tell you, people, and I don't know if you want me to tell them, Laurie, but you were holding back the tears.
I was. You know, there was a line there. Oh, gosh, I'm starting to tear up now.
Yeah.
But there was a line in the poem about her lover going off to Vietnam. And, yeah, emotional
stuff. It got
stuff.
You, didn't it?
Yeah.
What I liked about it is the fact that when I was interviewing Pratibha, that it wasn't just poetry. It was a really big story.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, something like that entered into our competition, that would be acceptable, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Definitely. You know, it's about storytelling, and storytelling can take many forms.
I loved it. And I'm really grateful that Pratibha has given me her book, Miniskirts in the Wasteland. Mm. I come from a 60s era, and I think it's going to take me back in time.
I'm sure it will.
Laurie, thank you, as always, for coming in. And yeah, we look forward to next week. Bank holiday, but you'll be here.
I'll be here as ever.
Bob Bruce on Victory Radio, like it used to be.